he's had at the Polytechnic of Milan under the supervision of Professor Ezio Manzini. And we will speak about creative cities, diffuse creativity, creative communities, and collaborative services, and describe a design process related to a case undergoing in our research unit called cohousing.it. As we work with social innovations, it is important to understand social changes. And to begin, the premises are that for a long time, traditional family was the main reference for housing project. But the modifications within the family require new systems and new spaces. And the social infrastructures are inadequate to the emergent typologies. Some changes in society structure steers new lifestyles with a living culture completely different from that of the traditional family, and with aspirations, desires, and needs not matched or accommodated by the existing models. These changing realities contribute to the emergence of a new behavior patterns, new business models, and new ways of interaction with the environment, building a world with new values. And it can be seen that a growing number of people, organizations, and institutions do behave in a creative way in the contemporary knowledge society. These changes give us an opportunity to reinforce this type of behaviors through the design discipline. There are many self-nominated creative cities, either because they have a huge concentration of creative professionals or because they have a strong role as art cities. But the creative city is above all one that has a creative social fabric, that is to say, a city where relationships between inhabitants are a basis for active citizenship. From a previous European research called EMUD, it emerged that there exist ordinary people making the extraordinary happens, and they express a dynamic new form of creativity. A diffusive creativity put cooperatively into action by non-specialized people. These groups of people that we call creative communities are very diverse in their nature and the way they operate, like sharing spaces, and common service like in the co-housing process, productive activities based on local resource and skill, as in the case of certain typical products, initiatives aimed at promoting a healthy and natural diet like the international slow food movement to a new generation of urban farmer markets, self-managed services for the children like small kindergartens or nursery schools. They are promoted and managed by parents. And they work as collaborative services. That is, they work as service based on the efforts of a local network of creative users, producers, and they are the expression of radical innovations of local systems and challenge traditional ways of doing things, combining or and introducing new and very different ones. The growth of these creative communities begins to create human networks. Nevertheless, they do not constitute, unfortunately, a cohesive movement yet, because their actions are mostly private ones occurring in unconnected pockets in many nations. Still, the spontaneous and grassroots nature of these innovative solutions may well sign a deeply felt desire by many people to build neighborhoods, societies of well-being, in sum, a more satisfying life for themselves and their families. If we look at the urban territory, and as the major part of the world population now lives in city, and trends say that will be increased, we see that cities are places where we can find different kinds of collaborative services, like car sharing, or gardening together, or cleaning neighborhoods. And these services can be reinforced by means of design, instead of being isolated and unknown. With promotion and diffusion of them, we can like reinforce the signals. And this can be a major opportunity for the intervention of the design community that is interested in developing sustainable solutions for everyday problems and that wishes to promote, diffuse, and eventually replicate these innovative ideas. This intervention can emerge observing social innovations, promoting them, and can create interesting spin-offs of these ideas with the purpose to promote services or product service systems innovations as a way to achieve sustainable lifestyles, creating finally a social and collaborative tissue richer than that of the consumer society. To this design intervention we call enabling solution, that is, solutions particularly targeted to promote the diffusion of these best practices. And the main challenge here is how to replicate these collaborative services without losing their quality. Designing an enabling solution able to reproduce and maintain the intrinsic qualities of the original creative community services means not to design directly the way by which people relate, but to favor them to do so. The cohousing.itk's enabling solution supports people in their operational self-organization, as we will see with Roberta. Like, the solution helps find suitable buildings or building plots and help them to overcome any administrative and financial difficulties. But not only. The enabling solution also creates conditions that favor their interpersonal relations, from simply put participants in touch to the offering of tools and promotion of events that support them to deeply relate with each other, as we will see in the next slides that we'll present in the cohousing.it.
Well, I will present the cohousing experience undergoing in Milano. We can say briefly that a cohousing experience is a cohousing is a residential community with shared services and facilities, first apart in Denmark during the 60s. It's essentially a combination of private dwelling, each with its own intimacy and autonomy, with the advantage of shared facilities, such as micro-nursery, do-it-yourself workshops, laundry, guest accommodation, garden, and so on, which offers social, environmental, and economic benefits to the community. Each settlement typically consists of 25 to 40 dwellings where families and single people decide to live together after a long process of participatory planning. There are essentially two motivations that steer people toward this new form of neighborhood: the desire to socialize in neighborly relationships while at the same time reducing the complexity and consequently stress and fatigue of managing everyday activity. This enabling solution solved the three main problem areas about cohousing design. The first concerning the formation of interest groups around a cohousing project has been solved thanks to the creation of the community cohousing.it. The idea behind the project is that the internet will be the best tool for finding the critical mass of people interested in each project. The second issue concerns the identification of suitable areas for creating cohousing community in areas that are promising from a city planning angle, undergoing significant transformation and regeneration, well served and linked to the main city. This service comes offered by Cohousing Venture, part of Innocence Partnership. Okay?
Yes.
It's not. No, not work. Okay. The third and the final problem area concerns of the process of residential community development, that is organizing demand. This is the most important task of the Innocence Agency, and in practice, a question of managing an assisted, facilitated process lasting 6 to 9 months, by which a group of people and family builds up their cohousing vision and project. How to live in cohousing, what to share, how to manage shared services, and so on. The shared plan, outcome of a dozen or so meetings on site inspection and actual co-designing workshop, covers all the characteristics and requirements of a residential cohousing village. The idea of promoting cohousing in Italy arose from the meeting of two realities: the Agency for Social Innovation, Innocence Partnership, and our research unit, DIS. After sound interest in shared housing among the citizens of Milan, through the survey event Abito Milano in January 2006, it was born the first all Italian event in cohousing called Urban Village Bovisa 1. Just a few steps from the Politecnico di Milano, in ex factory, a community of around 30 dwellings is being developed. Only a completion of the preliminary shared plan to do family and individuals sharing the project jointly commit themselves financially to realizing the building project. This will be completed over the following couple of years, either directly or in partnership with the property developer who offered the area and will oversee the building work. To undertake this task, the Italian Co-Housing Foundation uses specialized social facilitators, service designers, and specialized consultant in engineering management, finance, and property rights. The foundation calls on professional collaboration from co-housing venture for the initial architectural planning of shared space and for project management. The residential community, this is Urban Village Police, building process started on 17 2006, bringing together all the family and people interested in the project.
I would like to say, as we are in Italy, forget about the 6 to 9 months that Robert spoke, so this process isn't finished yet, because we are a little bit late.
Yeah. A large space in the heart of the Bovisa neighborhood, the Shigella, was chosen and the meeting place for participatory planning, a place for socializing, relationship building, and cultural production. Here, the whole big houses initially got together and began reflecting on the cultural aspect of living together. The participatory process is coordinated by a project manager and run by social facilitator who show participants how to reach a consensus in decision making. Its main purpose is to involve those interested in building a shared vision of the community and help create a group of identity based on shared values. Process participants initially came together around a discussion table using interaction technique such as brainstorming and workshop session. At the warm-up stage, a representative group method was used as in useful in building shared community values. A two-day workshop was planned for the following meeting with the aim of reaching a shared area in the future living scenario. During the workshop, the co-houser identified the activity they wish to share and how this could be located in the communal space in Bovisa, giving some idea of how the community wants to use this space. During this phase, participants used one of the tools created by the group of service designers to facilitate the user choice of activity cards. This consists of a pack of 65 cards divided into four macro areas: conviviality, take care, organization, and time for. And the 15 categories, as we can see in this slide, where the poetic nature of the communication appear.
We brought some activity cards, a marker, will pass, and you can keep it. We have on the back side our email address.
The graphic of these playing cards were thought up to highlight people's action and gestures by only lightly stretching place. We wanted to take action out of their physical context, giving them greater importance and enabling people to sketch the physical location in their own minds. It was interesting to observe how the activity cards sparked all the community members to discuss and express concrete preference. The final meeting of the first stage was a technical meeting where the architectural planners were invited to answer queries. The group building process is basically divided into stages: the visioning stage that I have just been talking about and the planning stage. The first part of the facilitation project has in fact just finished. Families have financially committed themselves and enrolled in the housing co-design stage. This included the planning, shared service, and facility design, and the planning of private space, and consequently the definitive building offer and the contract of cooperative association. The teamwork has been fundamental to the positive startup of Urban Village Bovisa 1. The designer role has been undeniably important in approaching this new team, not only in design tools, but also in laying guidelines and visualizing the whole process. Both the process and the tools were tested by designers themselves and by the whole work team during a cycle of preliminary during meetings held in the Polytechnic of Milano. During this meeting, the linearity of the process and the effectiveness of all the tools, from the classic post-it to the more original activity card, were assessed in order to decide the methodology of using them with the would-be co-authors. The activity cards, like the other working and visualization tools, are part of a toolkit created by designers to facilitate dialogue between users and between users and professional planners. It's a set of organizational support tools that leave people free to express themselves, along with the task of planning part of project together. Since we do not study a subject, but we study problems, and problems cross the borders of any subject or discipline, to design a toolkit for co-housing, we examine the technique and the tools usually used in participatory planning process, with the intuition that a kit would facilitate the building of the first co-housing community. Well, to conclude, we can say that there are many lessons about community to be learned from this case. Through the enabling solution, co-housing.it, even if not concluded, we are verifying how the design tools facilitate and accelerate the whole process, as well as to open new possibility to the other group of people. The richness of the service produced by creating community relies on the relationship between people and in the collaborative community-based service they generate. Here, we have image of a case in which the service does not work. This is the White Tower in Gratosolio in Milano, because this were projected like a physical space, but hoping the world evolved naturally of afterwards. The city urbanistic project belonged to a group of actors which may be led by an urbanist. In the same way, the project of architectural space that steer and allow a deeper social involvement within the living space belong to the architect. Notwithstanding, it's the role of the designer to conceive the service together with the users, and it's also its role to be the strategist and the mediator in this process. Because, in fact, the design of service with certain methodologies and tools can force the implementation of certain service, be through participation, be through the design of a toolkit enabling co-participated design. The idea of stylizing good practice so as to facilitate the reproduction is not new. But what are new are the tools and methods that the service design discipline is coming up with to make social innovation more easily reproducible in answer to the crisis in the welfare. Now, really concluding, we would like to say that the new challenger for the design of services can be identified precisely in the word reproducibility, with the idea of reproducing complex form of organization such as a co-housing project can be. Thank
you. Do you think that a process like this would work in most any country, or is it unique to certain countries or certain cultures?
I think it could work. We hope it could work. Maybe not in all countries. Maybe we have to adapt some these kind of enabling solutions to the context, the cultural context of some countries. But okay, if we think about some emerging countries, maybe they do not have internet, an internet tool, like a dissemination tool, but there are other ways of disseminating these kind of things. So I think it can be possible.
Maybe I can just talk. I was wondering about recruiting people, and I guess there seems to be like the spirit of socialism or some inherent ideology kind of, I don't know if that, if you got a certain response from certain kinds of people because of the kind of this aspect of living together sort of might be attracted to people who are more open or about sharing or stuff like that. So was that, did you have to filter or seek out certain kinds of people that were open to this, or is it...
No, we have just do the inquire a bit to Milano. People have answered. I think it's not an ideology. I think like we are hippies in the 70s, but more. I think people in the city are very individualist. So I think people are searching for a neighborhood, for some kind of a different interaction that we lost in our cities. It's not going back to a village, a little village, but it's like we can help each other and we can have more interaction with our neighborhoods, because we know what happened to David Beckham, to George Bush, but maybe we don't know our neighborhood. We don't see him, we don't know if he's ill or if he needs some help. So I think people, at least in Europe, but in here in the United States, co-housing, it's a thing that is growing a lot. I think people really are searching for this kind of interaction and sharing things. And I think also in the point of view of the sustainability, it's fantastic because we don't need each one of us laundry at our home. We can have a collective laundry. So I think this is not like an ideology.
Would there be a difference of doing this for profit versus is this a for profit or non profit venture?
It's a profit venture.
Okay.
In a sense, partnership. It's in fact a profit.
I'm an architect and urbanist, and I do participatory kind of community work. And so I'm just wondering, I see a lot of similarity and kind of overlap, and I'm just wondering what your thoughts on kind of how service design would be different than that, than say traditional architect-led participatory planning, and where there's overlap.
Well, yeah, what we think is, in fact, architects can plan the space, the physical space, but it's missing the rest. It's like the last slide. It doesn't seem very good, but this is all places for shopping or services, and it's everything close, because we can project a space, but we can't make it happen. People do make things happen. It's not the project that make things happen. It facilitates, okay, but by itself it doesn't work. So we think that service design can work like a strategic, not only as tactical but also as a strategic mentor of these kind of things and putting people together. So we have the tools. Internet, it's a powerful tool to disseminate things and put people together and create a community of people. So I don't think it's overlap. I think it's a job that we can do together, urbanists, urban designers, architects, service designers. I think all together we can do, make at least a better city, the best environment for us.
I'm a little bit of wondering about what you're anticipating for the future. There's a lot of energy and excitement around sort of a pilot like this, where there's a lot of facilitation, there's a whole process, there's the whole cohort is going through it together. And then if you think about over time, some people are going to move away, new people might join, and is it the same experience for the new people joining, and sort of have thoughts about sort of what happens over time as that cohort sort of dissipates and new people join?
Well, I think the important here is to put people together, because this is the main problem of creating a co-housing community, is putting people together and designing the site. I think the process then runs naturally. If someone leaves, because it's natural that people leave, it comes other people. It can also enrich the co-housing. But here it's not, our presentation is not about the co-housing itself. It's more like the tools that we as service design can offer. This is a case. We have done a lot of experience with our students, car sharing. How can we disseminate a service design car sharing, for instance, or another kind of project? So I think the problem is how to start, how to make lazy people, because we are lazy people, to do something together, instead of waiting for a government response for our problems. So I think that's the best service design can do, is to put together this and make it happen. Then we hope it runs naturally.
I'm wondering how you plan to combat what in economics and political science is called the free rider problem, the idea that there's always those who will, you know, jump on and I will share what you're sharing, but I won't share any of my own within this context.
Can you repeat?
In economics and political science, they talk about free riders, which is the idea that some people will come and take the benefits. You know, so I will join your carpool and I will use your laundry, but I won't actually give anything of my own.
Yeah, I think what's interesting in this, it's like we have said, it's a collaborative service where everybody has to do something. So I think the system itself, it rejects people that don't do anything, because we know we have to do something to make it happen. So it can happen. The world is not perfect, but I do think that people that are together to do these kind of things, they are, first of all, I think it's a civic attitude, like active citizenship that we are seeing growing, and I think it's good. Of course, there are the others who try to profit about that and don't do anything.
I was just wondering if, in your past research, if there were some other things that you isolated from the, all over the years, different attempts at trying to work on projects like this, if you isolated some of the other consistent problems that have come up in repeating these projects. Does that make sense? Do you know what I mean? In the last, say, whatever, 100 years, there have been different attempts at trying to create communal environments. And based on your research, have you found repeat problems that have existed in all of those past models that you are incorporating into this solution, into your...
Yeah, in the co-housing project, it's simple because we have a lot of cases to study. The others, for instance, car sharing or others, are different because are isolated cases. In the co-housing, there are a pattern of difficulties and problems that we have seen and we have tried to resolve with our enabling solution. And for instance, one of the problems is the time that it takes to create a co-housing community. It's about 5 years. With this one that we have done, it was 1 year at least to find the place and to start designing the whole process. So our research was based also in a pattern that we have found of problems, and also things that were working and that we included also in this. I apologize for my English because I'm trying to answer in.
One of the things I think is interesting about this project is the use of the internet to disseminate information, but you're really fostering physical interactions between people. And I was just curious how you view what your thoughts are on the use of the internet, which can be a kind of impersonal way of interacting, and how does that foster or challenge you in when you're working with these communities to communicate physically with each other? Is that
yeah, I understand. Well, the use of the internet, it's good to join people together for the first time. For instance, at Rome, they have a neighborhood party that was promoted by the City Hall of Rome. And they disseminated that in the internet. So they have a toolkit. People know that in that day will be a party in the street with all the neighborhoods. And that's the important part of the internet, because what's really important is that people are together in that day, in that party, interacting with each other. So I think the internet, it's a good tool to make people together and to know, to make the things known. The rest, I think what is important is the physical aspect.
Do you think that there will ever be a time when your design does not fit what is going on in these communities anymore? And if so, are you going to let the people who are living in this community actually redesign your service design?
I think they will redesign, because I think what we have done in these workshops with them, they have realized what kind of activities they want to share. And we live this process. So if they really make it happen, or if they change anything afterwards, it's great, because this is a dynamic process. It's not, we have decided these are the activities, so now it has to be like this. I think after we have reached this consensus, we leave. I think it's not any more space for service design to stay there. So I think it's the community that has to do the rest.
If we have some extra time, there will be kind of a 15-minute break before our two panels. If you look in the program, the panel here is led by moderator Dan Boreski, and Shelley Evanson will be in the lecture hall. So we'll see you again.